I traveled with Pastor Gary Grunewald. We went to India about 10 days ago, was it, or something? And it's great to be with him and his ministry with people. And then after I came home, and then he went on to Nepal. So we'll hear from him in a minute. I wanted to give a shout out to Pastor Barry Quirk and the team and all the teachers that made GGCA just an amazing school experience for our graduates yesterday, who did a great job. Bradley gave the keynote message. I asked my wife what was the highlight, and she said Bradley's valedictorian speech. And then I asked another person, they said it was when Pastor Love stood next to his grandson and was so proud of his athletic ability. And, you know, and then another person said to me, just the quality of these young people is just to the glory of God. Pastor Shabelli was soul winning on Friday with the school, and somebody on the street said, "Wow, what is this?" He said, "It's our school." And the lady said, "I got to send my kids to a school that brings the gospel out on the street." You know, we've heard that. And I just wanted to just say from the bottom of my heart, the parents, the teachers, administration, Pastor Barry, you know, I'm just very thankful. Turn to your neighbor and just say, you know, I don't know what. Turn to your neighbor and just say, you know, hey, praise God. You know, we're part of something awesome. Hallelujah. We are. Right? David, anybody who can play Pontius Pilate like David Castro, I mean, Pontius Pilate didn't even know there was a David Castro on earth. Okay, the second thing was, okay, talk to your neighbor, just say whatever, you know, build them up, give me a minute to get it back, oh boy. Okay, here it is, I got it now. It was last Sunday night, Pastor Shabelli preached here. And don't turn to the right or left. And that was a great message. I heard it this morning. And he said, he referred that little story. He was in the balcony hiding behind the pillar. And the word of God came and turned around the pillar and got him. Remember that? And don't turn to the right or left, because you got to hit it right. Just like a trajectory in space. You know, if it's off, there'll be a crash. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5 for a second. I want to point one little text, one incredible text. Does anybody have an Amplified Bible? No Amplified people, only King James. Yeah, run it up, please. Get the young legs, run it up. Phil, I can't believe that you had her run it up here. Joking, okay. 1 Timothy chapter 5. This is not a thorough teaching, but I want to bring your attention to something. Tonight we're just going to have a good time in here. Amen. Short, pat, punchy, Pastor Gary sharing a few minutes. Pastor Carl, I want to say something about Pastor Carl in India tonight. But this text, I've never heard anybody preach, and I'm sure Dr. Stevens has, and maybe I fell asleep on that time, I'm not sure. But this is amazing. You got to mark this down for Bible reading study for the whole week or even longer. Now, it's 1 Timothy 5, verse 11. But refuse the younger widows. Does anybody know what he's talking about? You got older widows. What is a widow? Woman that's lost her husband. He died. Let's use some ages. Older widow, she's 60. Younger widow, 30. Okay. What happened to the younger woman in her marriage? Her husband died. She's 30 years old. Okay. What's that going to do to you? Refuse them on the list. When you make out a list for widows, the older widows are on the list. The younger widows are not, and it's going to explain it. Now, we're talking about women, and so bear with me. Verse 11, for when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ. Now, this seems to be King James, isn't it? Yeah, it's New King James. Okay. I thought it was Amplified. It's okay, though. Hey, Tootie, hey, none of us know what we're reading. It's fine. Okay, no, okay. Wait a minute. What? Oh, okay, careful. Don't fall. Don't fall on top of me. No, good joke, George. That's wrong. It's wrong. I'm just sorry. Hey, George, I love you. He's amazing. Okay, look at chapter 5, verse 11. Okay, in the Amplified, is it? But refuse to enroll on this list the younger widows, for when they become restive, their natural desires grow strong. What does that mean? Younger widow, 30 years old, husband died, they get restive, and their desires grow strong. What kind of desires? To get married again. To have a husband. Can I hear an amen over on my left? Okay, so I'm going to leave this because this is not the message, but I'm getting your appetite. There are 12 things mentioned about this. How I want to get married. What am I going to do? It may not happen. I'm restless. What should I do about it? And Paul is saying, this kind of woman is not on the list. I mean, don't put her on the list. And if you read through the list, now, I didn't write it. Holy Spirit wrote it. But I have observed something as a pastor, that this not only applies to women, but I think it applies, to these widows, this category of people, but it applies to every believer. There's something that I get restless about. There's something that I struggle with, and I can, as it says there, deny. Verse 11. Their desires grow strong. They withdraw themselves against Christ and wish to marry again, so they incur condemnation for having set aside and slighted their previous privilege. That needs some explaining. But in effect, it means that they have, in effect, moved. They have moved away in their hearts from that kind of faith and that kind of trust that they have been living in, and they kind of say, I got to get this done. I got to do it my way. I got to live my life. I got to do my thing. Now look at the next part, 13. Moreover, as they go about from house to house, what do? They move around. They start going from house to house, friend to friend, people to people. And they are not edifying. They are not edifying. It says it there, verse 13. They learn to be idlers. They spend more time on social media. They are not only idlers, but they are gossips and busybodies. And they are saying what they should not say and talking of things they should not mention. Wow, that's amazing. Now, I'm preaching to the choir tonight. Maybe, however, all of us need to learn what this is about, but it's not done. There's 14. I would have the younger widows marry, bear children, guide the household, not give opponents of the faith occasion for slander or reproach. Meaning, I don't want these women to be running around talking, energized, motivated, complaining, disappointed, empty people, just talking out of their emotion, kind of hysterically. They're emotional, and they say things they shouldn't even say. They're saying things they shouldn't even be saying those things. They can't help it because they have denied their faith. They don't have the Holy Spirit governing their hearts and their mouths, and they've lost their control over their emotions and their hearts. And I just say it very clearly to us tonight in a good way. I'm just having a good time here. But I want you to think about this because I think it can happen to anybody that is suffering. I'll repeat it. Suffering, it happens. And anybody that is suffering is tempted to become angry, bitter, frustrated, hardened, difficult. They can become gossips. They can become slanderers. They can become just unsettled people. And just there's a way out. And I'd love to share that tonight. I mean, we will during the ministry time. Anyway, if you hang around for 10 years, you'll probably pick up on it. Okay, look at verse 15. For already some widows have turned aside after Satan. They are believers, but they have turned aside. And they don't realize how much demonic words, demonic emotion, demonic expression happens through them. And if any believing woman or believing man has relatives or persons in the household who are widows, let him relieve them. Let the church not be burdened with them so that it may be free to assist those who are truly widows, meaning the older women that are really been washing the saints' feet, and that is described in that chapter. Okay, that's it. All right, so it's on my mind. I can't help but to share it with you and for you to notice it and think about it. And it's powerful. It's amazing. So that's all. Praise the Lord. Whose Bible is this one? Okay, this is perfect Bible for your family. Thank you. There you go. It's a presentation. Okay. Pastor Gary? Yeah.
Well, Pastor Schaller was having fun at the expense of our flesh. And you know what? That's fun, Pastor, for us, right? That's what we call fun. When you share it the way it is, that's what we love. And it protects us. It speaks to our future. It speaks to our heart. And we're so grateful for that. And we need it because we're blind sheep and we need a shepherd. And that's what we have. So, India, Nepal, really, you should look to Pastor Schaller and thank him. Yeah, maybe we should be grateful instead of complainers for what we have, you know, and where it came from. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, a pastor that had a vision from Maine. Maybe we should be thankful. Thankfulness. Thankfulness comes from receiving grace. Bitterness comes from receiving something from below. So, man, I wouldn't have a testimony if we didn't have a pastor here. I have a testimony because we have a pastor that continued the vision. You know, I wouldn't have gone over there if we didn't, you know what I mean? I'd be somewhere, you know? So, man, let's not forget our roots. We got to be grounded. And if we're not grounded in the Word, in truth, what are we, just floating minions, just doing our own thing? So, you know, this isn't a rah-rah. You know, after that, you can't give a rah-rah about, you know. It's like you even want to look at your own naughtiness, you know, and say, what can I grow in? I was just, if you saw Pastor Schaller minister over there, you get unfamiliar with what you have. So we're grateful for that. Gratefulness in our hearts. Man, what we're a part, we're not a part of a church, we're part of something that's eternal, you know, not a church, the eternal church. And we saw, you know, you look at Pastor Carl, every time you see him, you cry because what God has done in his life. You're so thankful. Pastor Brian, just a soldier that has laid down his life. I have notes I took from when I was in Nepal. When I was in Nepal, we had a missions conference, and we're training up men, young men that know the Bible, that have a missions mind. One guy, it's 15 years and younger in Nepal for a male. It's projected that 85% of them will go to another country and work. Okay, and they'll leave Nepal. Nepal has the highest rate per capita for trafficking of people. Okay, but the point is, there's one kid that went to Bible school kind of to learn English so he could go overseas. His name is Royet. And he was in the Bible school. You know, he wanted to go over it, and he just go to make money. He got the Word in his heart, and today he's just this sold-out missionary. He didn't go overseas, you know, to another country. He stayed in Nepal, and he ministered. And guys just like him, Pastor Rajan gave each of these guys 5 minutes to speak, you know, during the time slots during the convention. And I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31 messages we listened to for 5 minutes from these pastors that go out, and they know the Word. I got the verses here, and they have vision. Those are the pastors that are going out. They're trained at a center. They can train for 2 years or 3 years. They prefer 3 years, and they do 1 year of training on another team as a practicum, and then they're ready to be sent out and go on a team. And these guys mean business. And they go to the mountains. Little village mountain churches. You know, we went up to one, and the car could hardly get up the road. You know, it's the easiest one to get to. We went to, we had to wait for a bulldozer to just to just to, you know, make a path for us. And we get up to the village church there, and there's this brother laboring up there, and we see his church. He's got anywhere from 60 to 80 people in the church. And these are our village pastors, and they believe in the gospel. And I guess, what can I say? Is when you come home, you're like, what could I lose for the gospel's sake? Or what have I collected to be distracted from the gospel's sake? I mean, that's what you think of when you're flying home, and you know you're evaluating your own life. The post, Pastor John and Diane, just ministering. It's a communist country. They have a food nutrition ministry where they've been able to go to churches, where they've been able to go with doctors to villages and share about nutrition, and obviously use what they know about God, and they give it to people. I say that because they're in a communist country. Pastor Rajan, just his honor for Pastor Carl and where the vision actually came from. It was beautiful to see. Pastor Shibeli's ministry there. There's 75 states in Nepal, and we have churches in 30 of them. Okay? And Pastor Rajan has a vision to have, and added two more now, so there's 77. So he has a vision to have, you know, pastors and churches in each one of these states. It takes money, it takes sacrifice. You know, these guys aren't living extravagant lives that go. They're sacrificing a lot. They live on less than $100 a month. Just, you know, and they're believing. And it's like, and then I got on the airplane in Nepal to fly home, and I see all of these guys getting on the plane to go to Saudi Arabia to go to work. You know, I was just loaded with guys from Nepal, and it's just the whole airport was filled with guys. And we've got guys coming to a training center, and they're going out into Nepal, and they're forsaking that stuff. It was unbelievable to see these guys. I was heartbroken seeing these guys get on the airplane, and we've got like guys in a training center eating some rice and some, you know, a little bit of meat and some vegetables, and then they're going to go back into their mountaintop places. Guys that walk five, six. One guy preaches on Friday, walks 5 hours, gets his church on Saturday, then walks another 7 hours and preaches church on Sunday. You know, this is what they do. You know, one guy, you know, walked down 8 hours, got on the bus, and then he has to go home, like today, and he has to walk up the mountain 8 hours. You know, that's the way they get around. But just one thing I want to say, they are not shallow people. They are deep in the Word of God. They have been trained. And that's what's so glorious to see. We're not just sending out there, you know, and saying numbers. Pastor Billy throws around numbers, but these guys are trained. He's not just throwing around. These guys are trained. And, you know, even us, you know, young guys, what can we do? You know, we have Faith Promise coming up. How can we, like, you know, like in our hearts, like be a part, like an intimate part by faith, sacrificially giving for the cause of the gospel, you know, with our lives. Yeah, let's just close maybe with this verse. Verse 24 of Acts 20. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And we're learning how to by what we're being taught tonight, which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel, the grace of God. Paul is summing up his life. So, yeah, I guess that's the testimony of Pastor Rajan is doing. He's walking around. As you know, he had an accident. He's walking around. He looks great. However, he does have a limp. So, yeah, I guess that's the testimony from Nepal. There's a lot to say. Amen.
The main message. Here we go. Luke 7, turn there. This was this morning. And this will be just a few minutes. Turn. Would you stand with me? Change your position, please. Thank you so much. Beautiful song, ladies. Wow, awesome. Luke chapter 7. Part 2 of the morning message. So Luke 7. Okay, we good? Okay, here we go. Three people in one room. Where, who were they? Three people, who are they? Jesus, the Pharisee, and the sinful woman. Three people in one room. In me, there are three people in me. The sinful woman who is forgiven, the Pharisee who is there standing with his arms crossed and judging the woman and Jesus. If this man was a prophet, he would know that this woman is a sinner. And that's in me. Okay? I'm a Pharisee in me. Third one is the woman, and she worships. What happened in her life that made her a worshiper? But she was forgiven. In chapter 7, verse 36, one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. You know, when you are a sinner and you are forgiven, you are carrying with you an alabaster box of ointment. You are carrying with you the Holy Spirit ministry to Christ. You are carrying with you a ministry that touches the heart of God. When you are a sinner that has been forgiven, you are saved, you are indwelt by the Spirit of God, then you have an alabaster box to serve, and the fragrance in the room is real. That's like our church service. Like when Pastor Gary was speaking, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. It's like quiet, and we are listening and sensitive. We are edified. You may be seated. I want to counsel the pastors this convention a little bit this way. When Greater Grace pastors come and I receive from them, we all receive from each other. It's not a matter of leadership in hierarchy. It's a matter of the ministry of the Spirit. For nobody is above anybody. We are simply servants of each other. But having said that, I would like to say that when you are with somebody, sometimes you can sense that it is simple, clean, and edifying. But it could also be that when you're with a pastor, it's more combative. That when you're talking with him, he may be restless are disturbed or frustrated or angry, and that can happen to any of us. And if it's a pattern, then I need to get a handle on that in my private life, because the pastor cannot minister out of his frustration or his anger or his restlessness. A ministry has to have an alabaster box of ointment by way of typology. When I am with you, I am edified. When I am with you, you encourage me. You hardly say anything. We are with Pastor Carl and Susie in India. It's a life changer to sit with him and his wife. She loves him so much, and he loves her so much. They are one, really. There's joy in their presence. And yet there is the complications of his practical situation. And yet I cannot see anything other than agape love. The Spirit of God in his eyes, in his words, in his heart, in his mission. All these years, and in his mission and his ministry. Pastor Gary and I, we sat in their presence, and they love Zane Turk, who had a big impact in India, and they are praying for him and others that are here, and they're excited about the Bible College and here in Baltimore, and they're praying for us, and we're praying for them. It seems to me that the meaning of life is love. It seems to me that in this room, that everybody's, you could say your physical body is that room, and there's three people in that room. And it seems to me that one of them we should care less about. That's the Pharisee. But he usurps, he takes over. He says to you, and like we said in the beginning of the service, when a woman is restless regarding her situation, the best thing she could do would be to calm down and listen to Christ and trust and ask for him to fill her and teach her agape love. It seems that in all of our lives, Pastor Carl, 7 years ago, it started with his disability, and he started to feel and in his throat and sense and losing his physical ability, and much prayer and much love and much faith. And by the way, the church is packed with people. A lot of love in that church. A lot of ministry is going on. Even people in Tibet have heard there's a Bible college in Mumbai, India, and they have traveled to Mumbai looking for this church that they have heard about. And they stand in front of a Catholic church with the doors closed and locked, and they're wondering, where is the church Greater Grace? Because they don't know anything about Christianity. It's beautiful. When the woman is forgiven much and she has much love and Jesus is there and he wants to tell Simon, Simon, our tradition is when I come to a home, you wash the feet. You don't wash my feet. That tradition is you anoint me. You don't anoint me. But this woman, she understands. That's like the blindness that happens in life. Like the widow that I referred to in the beginning of the sermon. Like, marriage is not the whole point of life. Learning agape love is the whole point of life. Living without suffering is not the whole point of life. Learning agape love is the whole point of life. Being treated fairly is not the whole point of life. Finding Christ is the whole point of life. You know, standing around saying, you know, this isn't correct. And, you know, that thing, and I can't even believe that they think like that. They do that. I can't even believe it, what they're going on. The church is filled with hypocrisy. I cannot believe that they have. It's like, who are you? Who are you? You judge Christ. You say, if this man was a prophet, he would know what's going on. Let's get the story the other way. If you had any idea who you are, you'd be down on your knees next to her, worshiping that man who loves you and cares for you and saves you by his grace. But your pride blinds you like it does all of us. Be careful of that. Pride. Let's finish. The woman doesn't even hear him, doesn't even care about that guy. She knows all about him. He's an empty suit. Guy's hollow. You, sir, aren't in my life. I could care less about you. I have found him. He fills my heart. He fills my life. He talks to me. I find him in the morning on my knees with my book open. I find him in praise and worship and thanksgiving and hallelujahs into my truck. I find Christ in listening to Pastor Schiavelli's message. Then turn to the right or to the left and God speak to me and guide me in truth. I find Christ in the body. I find Christ in Pontius Pilate acting out. I find Christ in the child in the nursery. And soon we're going to see these precious people coming here and say, thank you, church in Baltimore. Guys, we are walking together, and we are in love. And let's just say to Pastor Carl tonight, and Susie, you win. You are winners. You win. The coinage in heaven, the currency in heaven, everything about heaven is love. And if you find it in this life, you bring it there. Your reward is great when you find love. When you find truth and love, and you find it in your suffering. The Bible even says, and this is very radical to many of us, but we got to get used to it. Count it all joy when you fall into trouble. I mean, that's like shocking. We're in a world where it's like, you know, pain is bad. Suffering, stay away. Don't get in any trouble. Don't take any risks. Stay away. Make sure, put the hedges up. Make sure you don't get in any trouble. Get your life clean. Be straight. You know, be careful. It's wild out there. But love is saying, go for it. I'm with you. Be filled with me. Look at me. Worship me. You'll find me. Love never fails. Love endures all things, bears all things, believes all things, does not vaunt itself, does not puff up. Vaunting is external, like the external way people kind of vaunt and promote, you know, like I'm doing right now with my arms. It's like external vaunting, Like, I belong to that club. I own that kind of car. I got that kind of connection. I know this guy's name. It's like vaunting and then puffing up is internal. That inside you think too highly of yourself or myself. Love doesn't do it. Love doesn't think so much of itself. Love is solid. Love suffers well. Love does the right thing. Love finds what it means to serve when nobody notices. Love is in the body. Love has no age distinction. Like when we grew up in the ministry, there wasn't any kind of an age distinction between us, and there isn't today. Yeah, we have ages, but it doesn't matter. A young man is wise. An elderly person is wise. Somebody has a lot of experience. Somebody has a little experience. We are baptized into the body because love just is. Christ is God. So, pray with me. That's it. Amen. Would you pray with me? Beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Alan. Thank you, Pastor Carl, Susie. You win. You are winners. You win. You are winners. We are touched in the presence of this woman in the story cannot stop with her tears and her hair and her alabaster box. We love that. Pastor Paul Andreone shared it in the offering. We do hunger for it. We love it. We know what it is. We follow it. And when we suffer like the young widow who cannot handle it, we say to her, you can handle it. Christ is your provision. You can handle it. When you grow restive, like submit yourself under the mighty hand of God in humility and he will lift you up. But you willingly and knowingly move away from Christ and you become like a Pharisee, a judge. Also emotional and talking and spreading around your dissatisfaction and frustration. We say this because there's a better way, an answer for us. Thank you, Lord. And it's love. Love will fill us. Love will satisfy us. Love will teach us. Love will guide us. And God, love will give us the currency that is in heaven. Love is what makes heaven work. Love is a thing that honors you, will promote you. Love is eternal. And when we go to heaven, we will have that love that we have found here on the earth as the essence of our life, and we will be greatly rewarded with a countermeasure, with an honor and a glory that exceeds everything. Our light affliction is only for a moment, but it bears with it an exceeding eternal weight of glory. And we will be forever and ever what we have been made on the earth by our walk, not as a judge or a Pharisee or a small-minded complainer, or a bitter, resentful, angry person, but we will be rewarded because we have found him and he in his love has honored, revealed, and showed us the better way. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone listening to my voice, come to Jesus tonight. Believe in him. He loves you. He died for you. He is the reality for your life. Come, please, to Jesus. Believe in him, please, with all your heart. Trust him in his name. We pray as a body. Jesus, do that miracle, God. Regeneration and salvation here in America where it is greatly needed. bring new waves of conviction, bless every preacher and teacher, bless the people on the radio and everywhere we go, bring the message of Christ in every village and town in a fresh way, new generation, a revival through the streets of America. Save souls, train them, and send them into the highways and byways of this troubled world with a message of God's love. Bless our convention the end of June. Bless our prayer meetings on Friday nights with Pastor Atul. Bless our ministry on the radio and Grace Hour. Bless our ministry in the dormitories, the Bible college, the women's ministry, everything we touch. Ryan Reagan, Krista, all the teachers, Pastor Barry, Pat Lynch, the incredible coach of the year, amazing, all the families, Pastor Colban, Pastor Taggart, and all of these amazing people that are working in faith, Scotty Dubay and Wes, and John Nielsen and Nancy, and so many, Pastor Butch Vieta, the man of God, and Jackie. Many, many precious, dear people. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me and love your neighbor? God bless you.